Hey traders, Akil Stokes here. Welcome back to another episode of the Trading Coach Podcast. If you guys are brand new, I'm a Forex trader, trading coach, and one of the co-founders over at tier1trading.com. Today, I want to share with you a little bit of a special episode. It's actually an interview I did with my buddy Michael from over at Mara Wealth. And me and Michael have done interviews in the past, and each time they get even better. Not only do we talk about some of the foundational elements that all traders need to know in order to be successful, but how trading and kind of the lessons that we've learned relate to life as well. I apologize for some of the sound in the background, but I'm having the lawn done right now. So if you hear that humming, don't mind. But anyway, it's going to be a longer episode, so you may want to invest some time or plan to listen to it while you're doing something else. And if you want to see the visual version of it, I mean, if you want to see this ugly mug in your face for about an hour, you can always head to my YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/AkilStokes, and I'll put the actual video version of the interview that we did there as well. So be sure to follow Michael on Twitter, on social media, Michael Lamothe. That's LAMOTHE. And of course, visit his YouTube channel, Mara Wealth, MARA Wealth.
My duty is out here to help people succeed in life. I know a lot of traders out there think that trading is a get-rich-quick scheme, but once you're successful, those who treat it like a business, we are risk managers. Our main goal is don't lose money.
Welcome everybody to yet another edition of the Traders Mindset Show, where we talk to professional traders from around the world. Spread the love. I am connected. I love it, man. What a great t-shirt. I've got to get one of those. But man, well, we've got Akil Stokes on, big friend of the show. One of the best trading coaches that I've had the pleasure of working with too. I've seen everything that they've got to offer over at Tier 1. When I started to say, you know what, like I want to expand my trading repertoire, let me get into Forex a little bit. Akil and Jason were kind enough to invite me in, let me look around, and yeah, like the training, and it goes so deep. And not just the training part, but I feel like it's obvious like how much these guys care about their craft, about individuals, about traders, and you just feel it. And that's why I love having Akil on the show, and why I just love working with these guys, man. Thank you for coming back on. Love to get your insights on a lot of things.
My pleasure, man. Always a great time talking with you, as you know, even our conversations before we got started. So one of the people you can have honest conversations about and get a good perspective and a massive amount of trading knowledge yourself as well. So I always learn something, which makes me excited about coming on and doing these things with you.
Awesome, man. So let's get into it. We're all dealing with this new life of trading now. We even got some questions coming in already. So I want to say too, guys, if you just a little bit of housekeeping, if you scroll your mouse around, there's a little Q&A button down at the bottom. If you click that, it'll be a lot easier to manage the questions. If you guys want to chat too, use the chat box for that. And what's that?
I'm just sharing the hearts, man. We need hope at this time, so let's keep.
But we do.
The love spread. See yours on yours too. Nice.
Yeah, man. Yeah, got a lot of compliments on this one.
I like it, man. Well traded.
But yeah, man. How are some of the ways that you've adapted to this with your trading, and has your trading changed it in any way? Now that we're in this quarantine zone, there's different things happening in the world, the different household dynamic.
Yes and no. I think I don't know if you want to call it fortunate, but our household dynamic hasn't really changed too much. I know talking to a lot of people, that's big for a lot of people. The fact that, you know, they are working from home, their kids are at home, the madness which ensues. I've been dealing with that for a while. I've got a one-year-old and a five-year-old running around. Neither are in school full-time. The five-year-old used to go to preschool twice a week, but I've come accustomed to the random interruptions, the daddy, play with me, the work-at-home type of lifestyle. So Right. Obviously, I miss my 2 days of freedom, but I think I'm more adjusted than most people. And you know, don't take that lightly. That's big. I always talk about the differences between working at home and working in office. There are pros and cons to each. I love working at home. I also hate working at home at the same time. So it does play a major role in your productivity. As far as the market goes, the Forex market is a little bit different than the stock market, obviously. So we're not dealing with the same type of crashes. It's really a shift in money. Whenever that happens, whenever something global happens, the dollar is always going to be the safe haven pair. And people are thinking, well, things are horrible here in the US as well. Why is the dollar the safe haven pair? Because we are the best of the worst, I like to say. when everything is bad, you bet on what you think will be least bad. And we have the luxury of being able to cheat and print money at will, which is like a little cheat code if this were a video game. But what we've seen in the markets is really kind of a stop and go traffic. So we've seen some sporadic movement, but mostly it's indecision, it's consolidation. So there's this fear in the market fear of the unknown, and it's no surprise. So instead of seeing a nice even directional flow for the most part, we're seeing kind of choppy back and forth, nobody really wants to commit type of trading. And what that's done is it's opened up a very specific trading strategy that I can trade. And what I've been preaching to my traders is this is why it's important to be a well-rounded trader. Now, I do think you could be successful at trading having one strategy. But if you're well-rounded at trading, if you have different ways to approach and attack the market, you're able to adapt, you're able to adjust, and you can take advantage of the different market conditions. It's just like the difference between a good coach and a great coach as far as, you know, like professional sports goes, where a good coach may be able to come up with a great game plan for a game, but if things don't go his way, how can he adjust? The great coach, on the other hand, comes in with a game plan, but they're able to make those small adjustments throughout the game that end up giving you the result that they want. So we've been really focusing on that with a lot of our traders. In general, from a risk perspective, I said there are three things you can do in these uncertain times. You know, I wouldn't fault anyone that says, I'm just going to stop trading. I did some things very similar with pound pairs during the Brexit situation, where there was so much uncertainty that it's just not worth putting your money at risk. And understand that, I know a lot of traders out there think that trading is a get rich quick scheme, but right. Once you're successful, those who treat it like a business, and you know this for sure, we are risk managers. Our main goal is don't lose money, right? It's okay if we don't do anything, the money doesn't go away. We can always, you know, use our skill to make more later, but we don't want to recklessly spend it. So I've been telling traders, if you feel like you're in a panic, you're uncertain, you're psychologically not in a good place, don't trade. Take this time to do something else, work on a strategy, refine your current trading strategy, go back to the books and learn some more, you know, pick up a hobby, spend some time with the kids, do whatever you want. Take some time to do that. Lastly, you can trade with less exposure. So maybe chop down your risk, right? Take your risk in half so you still have exposure to the market, but you're not being as risky, so a little bit more risk averse. Or you can do that, but also focus on your best setups. I think as traders, we should all have, I think Mike Bellafiore said this in his book, One Good Trade, we should have our best setups. We should have our go-to trading setups. And maybe it's time to kind of put the okay setups to the side, the ones that may or may not work, and really focus on your high probability setups. The frequency is going to be less, but you put yourself in a more confident position in the market. So that's how we've been handling things, aside from just dealing with the day-to-day business of just making sure people are safe, making sure people's spirits are high and whatnot.
Real interesting. There's a bunch of stuff that I would like to dig into. The first, the type of trader, the trading, so the individual that, let's say you've got a trader that is a day trader, scalper, relying on this for generating income, they could take a couple of days off. Like, we could all take a couple of days off, but what if this extends to where, I'm not thrilled with this environment, but this is the environment that I got. Like, how is that guy or gal adapting? Or what kind of advice do you have for them?
Well, again, hopefully they're in a position where they're a well-rounded trader, where they can take advantage of the opportunities. From what I've seen in the market the last couple of weeks is it's for the most part complete garbage on the higher time frames. I'm mainly a swing trader, so operating on the daily and the 4 hour. I have a live trading room, so we do day trading in there. But my personal preference in trading is kind of, you know, daily, 4 hour, hourly. We're not really seeing anything all too interesting on those time frames. However, what we're seeing is a massive uptick in volatility. The average true ranges of the markets have opened up drastically, where there are a handful of opportunities on the lower time frames that are going to be able to make more profit than you did before. I mean, we looked at a 15-minute chart the other day, and I confused it for a 4 hour because of how much profit was available. And it kind of blew my mind that we're back to these times. These were times that I lived in and traded through when I first started in trading around or at least Forex trading, like in the 2008, 2009 era. But recently the volatility has been sucked dry and now it's back. So for someone who's a day trader, there are going to be opportunities on the market. There is intraday movement in the market. You're probably, if you're in a position where you say, hey, I can't reduce risk, or I can't stick to my best setups, I can't take time off, you may have to be more aggressive. And I would say be more aggressive with your opportunities, be more conservative with your target. So instead of trying to catch a big move, try to get in, get out, get a little bit in your pocket and put yourself back in a safe position, whether that's with zero exposure to the market or at least that stop loss order move to break even.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, there's so many different types of traders out there with different types of objectives too, right? Like, like if somebody is just like, trading is my only business, that's all that I'm going to do. Well, how about looking at another asset class, right? If you have like a strategy, you could expand your repertoire. Like, I was super surprised at how much of like what I know from stocks was able to be applied to Forex. And then a lot of the very similar things that you were teaching it in your courses. And then I got to learn about different types of patterns that I didn't hear about. I never used candlesticks before. Mm-hmm. Had to learn all about candlesticks and everything. That now I kind of like pepper that into how I operate too. And I never used Fibonacci's either. Mm-hmm. Like, now that's something else to help gain another extra confluence. And this profit target happens to line up with the 1618 extension. Very interesting.
So. Yeah, you can certainly take it across different classes. I was talking to one of the traders I worked with for a while yesterday. He's been investing in oil. So the same skills of technical analysis, I would say that the ability to read a price chart is the same. I mean, you can look at a price chart. If you cover up the top left or whatever your deal is, it doesn't matter what it says on there. It could be an index. It could be a stock chart. It could be a currency. It could be a cryptocurrency. Maybe not cryptocurrency. But they're going to move the same. The basic rules have not changed since, you know, even before charting was available. Now everything doesn't work the same on all asset classes, on even all pairs, and specifically in Forex. So that's what you got to be. That's where it's going to take some work for you as a trader to realize that. You can't just be like, hey, this worked on the euro dollar, so it's going to work on gold. You got to do the work and find out if it actually works. But the general concepts, I mean, markets move up, down, and sideways. They give very specific patterns as far as reversals. And those patterns have held true well before you and me have ever began trading, well before we even had the access to look at charts, back when people were using graph paper to kind of mark highs and lows of the days. This stuff was still present. It's all because it's not the markets, it's not algorithms, it's psychology. It's us, our daily actions as traders in the market. And as humans, we're fairly predictable.
Yeah, it was. It's funny you mentioned that. The other day, I was just thinking through like the tulip craze. I forget what year it was, but you've heard right, like the whole parabolic move, and then like the implosion. We're seeing that same kind of stuff. And then I was flipping through this book. You ever read this one? Ever hear this one? How to Make Money?
Heard of it. I never read it.
Fantastic book on stocks. If you're ever interested in picking up a book on stocks, it's super interesting. He starts by going out to And looking at charts back from 1885.
Sheesh.
And the first 100 pages of this book are just annotated charts, like going through. And like you could see, yeah, going back to 1885, like the patterns are the same.
It really is, man. And it upsets me when people, I'm sure you get all the junk every once in a while, but and people are like, oh, this doesn't work anymore, this classic thing. And it's like, it's the same, man. It's the same. You're just not using it the right way. That's the problem. Mm. It's you. It's not the pattern, the setup. You think the setup's the holy grail. Nothing on its own right typically works. You need the confluence of everything.
So let me ask you this. How do you tease out, from somebody like that? So let's say there's a trader that comes to you and they're like, yeah, man, like it's outside of me, but like, no, it is you. Like, how do you get that person to see the light?
First and foremost, I would say this. I don't want to sound harsh. It's not my job to get someone to see the light. I'm at the point right now where I'm not trying to convince anyone to do anything that they don't want to do. Because typically if you've convinced yourself that you don't want to do it already, I'm just wasting time and energy that I can use for a trader that wants to see the light, on you. So I'm not trying to convince anyone to do something. I don't need to convince, anyone to see the light. Now, for someone that wants to see the light, and we're talking about the difference with someone that has already come in with a fixed mindset of this doesn't work, the market is a scam, it's gambling. I'll typically give one answer. If I see that they're open to learning, then we'll continue. If it's not, I shut them down. A good example, a little bit off topic, we had a trader on the platform the other day where he's used to a fixed percentage position size where you risk the same amount on every single trade, percentage wise, so 1% per trade. And he was going through the course and he got to the point where we're talking about how we used a smooth ratio money management position sizing strategy, and that doesn't necessarily include a fixed percentage. And he was like, well, who does this? I'm like, well, I do it. And he's like, what? And we've been in conversation for the last probably 2 weeks about it, but it's a conversation where he's not grounded in saying this way doesn't work. He's like, huh, interesting. I still think this is my preferred way, but I'd love to learn more. So for people like that, we just educate them on the markets, educate them on the reality of trading. Most people that come to us that way, they've got this false sense of reality. I don't know if it's from, what they were taught about money growing up. 9 out of 10 times they saw something on the internet involving a tiger and a car and gold chains, and they have this false sense of what can be accomplished. And it just really takes the heart, a hard dosage of the truth saying, hey, what you heard is wrong. Yes, you could achieve those things. That is technically possible. But the honest truth is, 90% of traders will lose 90% of their money in the first 90 days of trading. I don't say that to scare you away, but it is going to take a massive amount of hard work. It's going to take a massive amount of action, and it's going to take deliberate work in the right direction to achieve that goal. And if that's something you're willing to do, we can show you the way. If it's not, maybe you need to look for something else aside from trading. Harsh. Sorry, but it's...
I think that people need to hear that, right? Yeah. And yeah, like, well, we're here to serve. Yeah. And there's a lot of people to serve. And when... I heard another quote recently that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if they're not ready, then they're not ready.
Yeah. I'm very stubborn about my energy. You mentioned it earlier, I invest a lot in education. Sure. I'm very passionate about it. I love what I do. I love helping people. I'm fortunate to work with a lot of people, but sometimes that can also be overwhelming. And I'm talking about people that I work with directly on the Tier 1 platform and people that I just talk to on a regular basis on the internet. And it's draining. I could be spending a lot more time with my family, with my wife, my kids, on the garden, which is surely going to be infested with weeds any day now. but I choose to focus my time on these people. So I'm very big on, hey, if you want it, I'm going to help you out. Because I was once that kid in that same position who wanted something and saw this as a way that I can change my life. And I was fortunate enough to meet the right people who helped me out. And my life has changed because of that. It's a beautiful thing. I get to live my perfect life every single day, and that's what I want to help others achieve. Mm-hmm. However, if you don't want it, I'm not wasting energy trying to convince you, because I just don't really care that much. I'm here to help you if you want it. If you don't want it, I can care less. I don't need to convince you, because it doesn't necessarily benefit me to do so. I mean today, sorry. It's the quarantine. the cabin fever's got me angry at the world.
Let's get into positive energy, man. This has been my new favorite topic, energy management, specifically, yep. how we can help each other, as traders, manage our energy, and when we approach the market and we have a high level of energy, we're going to perform better. I've been studying as much as I can about energy. I'd love to hear about how you manage your energy throughout the day.
You be efficient. You want to be efficient, deliberate, and organized with your energy. You want to surround yourself with people that are going to bring you up. I can't tell you, and people, and I'm sure you get a lot of comments on social media and emails of people just saying, hey, man, thank you so much. You've helped me. And for a lot of those people, they think it's pointless to tell a coach or a mentor or whatever, thank you, to share some kind words, just to share a trading story. Some guy shared with me the other day, just finished my first quarter of trading and I'm up 50% and something like that. And they think that we don't care. Well, stuff like that is what gives me more energy. Hearing stuff like that, or reading comments, or just, seeing responses gives me energy, because it inspires me and knows that, hey, my duty is out here to help people succeed in life. That is my legacy. When I die, I want people to, look back and be like, man, he helped me. And then hopefully the person I helped someone else, and they helped someone else, and it kind of create that trickle down effect. So to hear that you're doing a good job, that you're kind of serving your purpose, gives you that energy boost that you may not have. Maybe you're having a down day. We're normal as well. We have bad days, and sometimes a quick little, kind word can kind of spark you up for the moment and push you through. And then now that you're sparked up, you share that with someone else, and you just keep paying it forward. So surrounding yourself with the right people, putting yourself in a motivational mindset. I start the day with a daily quote each and every day. Many of them come from you, where I try to read something and just that's inspirational, inspiring, or something that makes me think. I've also gotten back into my yoga routine, where I'm clearing the mind each morning, relaxing the body, and namaste, and all that fun stuff. So it's just a management issue of putting yourself in the right position to feed off the positive and avoid the negative.
I love that, man. And thank you for taking the quotes too. And actually, congrats on hitting 20K, man. That's amazing.
I don't know what that number means, but I'll celebrate it.
Big round numbers are, with age, right? Like fives and zeros.
Exactly. I think I'm hitting a five this year in my age as well. I don't remember how old I actually am, but somewhere.
I hit a zero last year.
Oh, 20. Congrats, man. Next year you can legally drink.
Dude, you're the best. Oh, man. Yeah. So also one of the first things that you mentioned too was that you're used to an environment where there's distractions while you're trading, like a kid will pop in the room, you might be in the middle of the trade. How do you manage that? Or do you have lots of time? This is going to be my trading time. Please try not to interrupt me. But kids don't really understand that. Or is it I'd love to hear more. And there's a lot of people that are now dealing with that too. And Well, what's your advice? How do you do it?
I keep a baseball on my desk, and if he comes and I throw it at him. And if he's smart, he gets the point. No, I don't do that. Although sometimes I want to. It's tough. The older one understands now when the doors are closed, I'm working. When he was younger, he used to barge in, because obviously he has no idea. It doesn't bother me too much. Again, my trading styles, I'm very predictive in my analysis. So I'm generally, it's not very rarely am I waiting by the computer, and I need to be there for like 10 minutes waiting to push the button. I typically know when and where and how I'm going to enter well before the trade ever takes place. And even my trades are predetermined. So I may have a limit order on there that's just waiting for price to get hit. So it's never really a distraction as far as kind of messing with my trading. It's more of just a productivity distraction where, you know, when I get on a roll, like I get on a roll, whether I'm teaching a live class, whether I'm working on some other type of project, I'm the type of person like, you know, we have our webinar next week or our workshop next week. So I've got to start putting together a presentation. I like to kind of zone out and be by myself. I pace the room. I go back and forth. I write a note here. And that could be a little bit of a distraction when he comes in. But I think the best thing to do is one, you take breaks. That's something I started doing recently. And if you can get them on a schedule, that's perfect. So, you know, he knows my schedule now. He knows when I start working. He knows that I take a break at fairly around the same. If I come out of my office to the living room, he knows I'm on a break. So he'll be like, Dad, you're on a break. And I'll be like, yeah, I got 10 minutes. And I may set the clock for 10 minutes. And then I try to play with him for 10 minutes. Then after 10 minutes, hug, high five, I go back. I said, I'll see you on next break. So when we have that schedule of those breaks where he knows, hey, Dad's coming out. And when Dad comes out, we can play for a little bit. And then he'll go back in. He'll come back out and play for a little bit. He's less inclined to come and break in. He's no longer like, I haven't seen Daddy in you know, 3 days. Where is he at? He knows that, you know, small break, we have a long break. So it's just being organized in your scheduling. I've spoken before about a technique called the Pomodoro technique, just as in general for productivity and time management, where you want to take 5 or 10 minute breaks every 25 or so minutes, because that's just how the brain kind of it goes weird after 25 minutes. So it's a good little pattern interrupt, a good little refresh. Instead of spending that break doing something else, go hug your wife, go spend time with the kids and give them just a little bit so they don't get caught too much out there that they feel they need to come in and disrupt you in your place of work.
Mm. That's all great. I love that. Like I started to do some of that on my end too. Like it took me a little while to figure that part out. I particularly like the prep. Like I like the whole part of it. Like so it sounds like if I could deconstruct a little bit of it, it starts with your prep, right? Like so you're not in this state where just like don't interrupt me. Like it's no, like I've already got my trading plan and yeah, like it's there. Like that work is already done and I'm just here to execute.
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly what I'm going to do well before it ever happens. Now, every once in a while, I do get caught off guard. Again, the teaching distracts me somewhat, especially from the day trading perspective. Obviously, from on the day trading, you have to be a little bit more alert than swing trading. Swing trading, I can set up a trade days in advance on a swing trade as far as knowing what to look for and what I need to get involved. So that's never an issue. The day trading can get a little bit fast, especially if the markets are moving. So you got to be a little bit on point because things change quickly, but that's where the luxury of my day trading hours are only during my teaching hours. So I'm fortunate enough to work with, we have about 30 people that join me live each and every day for my trading. And many of them are very, very highly skilled traders. So I would say about 15 of them, I would trust their word. I've got 15 extra eyes on the market. So in case I get caught up on a rant about something or doing a trade review for another trader, I've got people in my ear saying, hey, Dollar Canada, 5 minute chart, we're getting close to that entry. Oh, okay, let's go back over there. So that's a massive help for me because I tend to get distracted because I'm so passionate about teaching and day trading, honestly, is secondary for me. I do it because it allows me to run that live trading room environment and show people how what we teach actually applies to the market. So I always take the learning aspect or the teaching aspect first over that. So having the luxury of having more eyes on the market, having that positive group to surround yourself with, it helps with missing opportunities.
Ah, interesting. All right. Yeah. And then like taking the breaks, like scheduled breaks throughout the day. And then like,
that is big.
The Pomodoro technique too.
It took me so long to get when I'm a workaholic. My whole life, I was one of those people that I'm just going to like, even in athletics, right? I was good. I wasn't the greatest, but I'm just going to outwork everyone. I'm going to be that person that does the effort play. So in basketball, I wasn't a great shooter. I didn't dribble really good, but I was that effort guy. I played really, really, really good defense. And I was going diving on the ground and stealing balls and blocking shots. And that kept me in the game, right? Coach, you know, I remember one time I quit basketball, and the coach like came to my house. He's like, we need you back. I'm like, me? Like, I was like a sixth man off the bench. Like, I didn't really score any points. Why do you need me? And that's when he broke it down. It's like, you do all of the dirty stuff that no one else wants to do. Like, that guy only wants to score. That guy only wants to shoot. Like, you do all the stuff we need, kind of like the glue. And at that point, I kind of accepted my role as, like, I'm the effort guy. And I've been like that my whole life with working. I'm just saying, I never thought of myself as the smartest or the most intelligent. But I thought I have a motor that can outwork anyone. So when people get tired of working and grinding, I'm going to be there, and therefore I shall win. So becoming successful in trading, I followed that same path where it's like, I just, you know, I'll spend like 18 hours a day in front of the charts, just learning, just grinding away at it. And when I became successful, I start to think that, hey, that's what I have to do. And then I got married. And when I had kids was a massive game changer. Because, you know, you guys that have kids, you know, they take up so much time, especially if you want to be a good father. Or a good mother. They take up a lot of time. And it kind of hit me for a few years, like, how do I manage it? Because I used to have 10 hours a day that I can dedicate to my craft. Now I have like half of that. And it was just, I was stuck in this weird place where I was really lost, because I'm used to having the same motor my entire life. And now it's like my time was split in half. So about a 2-year period of really embarking on a journey of just figuring out myself and how to become more organized and execute to the same level of productivity, but with less time. And that was tough. It still is tough. It's a mental battle as well, and kind of figuring out priorities.
That was one that drove me nuts for a long time. I actually like hit a wall a few years back, within like the first 6 months of having my daughter, the idea of being what does being a good dad mean to me, right? And at the time, it was being a good dad means being there 100% of the time, morning, noon, night, I don't want to miss anything. That was the idea that I had in my head, and that like stems back from my own childhood of what I didn't have, like I wanted to give.
Yeah.
And it actually wasn't until I went to a Tony Robbins event that my perspective shifted, because we started questioning like a lot of different beliefs. And so it's just like, all right, well, if you stick with this definition of X, right? And everybody has their own things that they're dealing with. If you stick with your definition of X, where does that lead?
Awaken the Giant Within. Bickle.
Oh, wow.
Tony, first book,
my training mentor. I haven't seen the hardcover with that spine. Like, wow.
first book, my training mentor. Tony Robbins. That was big, man. Yeah.
Look at that.
1988. Wow.
That's something. I love that, man. Like every time we chat, like I love you more and more. Like I saw you post the other day too, how trading is like a marathon, and like how you just like, man, like a brother from another mother. Like, jeez.
Oh man, sorry to distract you, but yeah, it's that's how did it help you? You said you went to Tony Robbins event and that kind of shifted the way you thought.
Yeah, so I went to his event, and it was just where does my idea of being a good father being like you're always there for her, where does that ultimately lead? A spot that it's ultimately going to lead is that I'm not going to have time to do anything else significant with my life. Like I had this idea too that I want to build this business, I want to help traders, but if I'm always like with her like 100% of the time for it, then like, so what's the definition of a good dad? So like my definition changed of that she needs a dad that she could look up to, that's being a role model for her, and to look at quality of time versus quantity of time. And that's when I started to set up like, okay, we're going to have like dedicated blocks of time for you. And like when we're together, like I'm all in on whatever it is that I'm doing, whether I'm spending time with her, whether I'm trading, whether I'm building a course, well, whatever it is, like it's that focused effort versus, you know, like you could have a quantity time, but like, you know, she's watching a show, like I'm on social media, like that's not, yeah, like we're in the same room, but is that time together? No, that's not.
That's what I remember reading or listening to Gary V say something about that. Because you know, Gary V is kind of known for being this workaholic where he's like in the office at 6 and doesn't get home until like, you know, 10 at night. And he was saying that's not the case. And people get on this case where it's like, well, you work too much, you don't spend time with your kids. I remember him going on saying something similar to you said. He said, most of you don't spend time with your kids either. He's like, yeah, you're physically there in the same room, but you're on your phone, you're doing something else. So it's not really quality time. He says one thing that he does is once he leaves the office and he goes home, like he puts everything down. He's like, phone goes down, computers go down. Like he blocks off that time. This is a 2-hour segment with my family, no distractions. It's purposeful 2 hours. He said, you can be spending all Sunday with them thinking you're a good dad. But if you're spending all Sunday just watching football or doing something else, you're not actually spending 2 hours with them. And that kind of put things in perspective for me, because I struggle with that as well. I'm very active on social media, so I'm always looking at stuff or trying to, I'm always thinking of ideas, and I always want to go right to my cell phone and write it down. I got to work on that. I got to work on just really keeping my cell phone in my office and dedicating that time to my kids. And I'm getting there with the little break thing. I'm talking about like later in the day stuff where it's like, you know, when I'm a few hours and at the end of the day. So still working on that.
Yeah, like it just having the blocks of time for, like it really works. And like one of the things that we do too, like I don't like watching a whole lot of television. Like, so we'll like spend times like, all right, like tonight, well, what's today? Today's Thursday. I think today is going to be Pictionary night. Yeah, like just like activities like that, you know, and then like we've got another night will be like a board game night, then another night like will be movie and s'mores night, like and it was like a princess themed thing, so yes. Yeah, like daddy's getting dressed up too, not as a princess but, like as a you know, like
That's good.
Good times. Like ways to engage and be fully present with whatever it is that we're doing. But like, yeah, like stuff like is just learned like over time and being willing to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I love the prep and like the breaks and all this stuff. Like I feel like we're on a very similar path with all this stuff.
Yeah, you got to. That's the only way to survive. Survive. Got to take breathers.
I want to start opening up to questions too. We've been going strong for about 40 minutes. I want to see if there's any questions that anybody else has. Like, start putting them in the little Q&A box. Start putting them in the chat. And let's go. We're here. You've got two great coaches, at least one great coach here with Akil. Let's get it done, man. We're here. We want to help. Any questions about markets, about trading, about adapting to this new environment? How many years are you trading too?
Me? My 14th, I think.
All right, so we've got about 35 years of a trading experience between the two of us, between myself and Akila. Like, I'll say that like I've got like 10 years of good experience or 10 years of profitable experience.
I'm about the same. Probably got nine-ish, depending on when I feel like I think I was profitable, or at least allowed myself to call myself consistently profitable, probably about 2009, 2010, somewhere in between there. So working on 9 years,
Yeah, you've seen some gnarly markets too. Has there been when you first started, you said that you saw similar to this. So that's like around the housing crash.
Yeah, that's when I first got started. It's so valuable now. When I first got started, I had no idea what the markets would be like. So I just assumed they were always going to be like this. I didn't really pay attention to the markets at all and growing up around that. So I just assumed that's the way they were. And then things drastically changed, and that was kind of a slap in the face where it's like, hey, you have to be able to adapt, because the conditions in which I was trading in 2008, 2009, those areas, 2010, was completely different. We just weren't seeing that same type of movement. So you had to be a little bit more skilled to take advantage of it. And what I was doing wasn't working the same way it used to work. So I really had to go back, and that's kind of when I like to say I'm motivated by fear of failure. I'm motivated that someday I'll wake up and I lost my skill and it won't work. So that's what encourages me to keep growing each and every day. But it's so cool now because, you know, many people are panicking in these type of markets, and there's fear, there's panic, there's all this greed happening as well. I am actually very, 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 very comfortable because I've seen this before. Like, I've seen this. We all know that markets are cyclical. I've seen this book before. Right, I've seen this movie before. I don't know exactly how it happens, but I've seen this same type of a similar situation. So I'm very confident in what to do and how to do it coming out of it. Now, again, that's not in any type of arrogant way saying like I know the future. I don't, but it gives me a level of comfort knowing that, hey, I've played this level before, and this is going to be similar. Which has me actually very, very, very excited. I was talking to my wife the other day. I'm like, hey, do we have accounts for both of the kids, or just the oldest one? Because it's time to start. It's time to start flushing some money into the markets. Not saying today, but in general over the next couple of years.
Longer term, absolutely.
Yeah. You're walking into a store that has a fire sale. That's how it's going to be for longer term investors. The problem is many people are going to start purchasing after that sale is over and be late to the party. Not super late in a negative way, but now is the time to start really honing those skills, learning what to look for, how to look for it, so that you can take advantage of it when that turnaround does happen.
Right. Yeah, and to that same point too, some people will for this whole bull market that we had, a lot of buy the dippers, buy the dip is not a strategy that you want to be doing in this kind of environment. I bought the dip and it dipped some more, and I bought that dip and it dipped some more. And well, like now I'm out of stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's when those fad kind of terms come back, and people will get burnt. I mean, look, you hate to say it, stupid traders will do stupid things in any type of market conditions, man. Stupid traders will find a way to lose money when the market's going up, when the market's going down. Like, there are always going to be dumb people that do dumb things, and I don't want to say you need them, but they're there. So you got to be smart, and you got to be educated in what you do. And this is where I'm happy that my experience from years ago, 10 years ago, is now coming back, where it's like, I know how to deal with these times. Same thing as when the volatility got sucked out of the market. There's a massive loss in volatility in, I think it was 2014. And that was the first time where I was like, ooh, what do I do? This is weird. How do I trade? And it took me a while to adjust. I did make some adjustments after 6 months, just to give you guys a time frame of how long it takes to kind of figure things out. About 6 months, I made an adjustment. And then earlier, it had to be last year, when something very similar happened, again, it was like, wait a minute, deja vu, I've seen this before. Last time we made this adjustment, this is what helps you survive and thrive. Let's make that adjustment again. And boom, it worked. It worked again. You know, again, took half the year, but I was able to rally in the second half of the year and really save myself instead of trading something that just wasn't working to my liking.
So let me ask you this, in this environment, you have some more confidence having gone through something similar in the past. Does that give you confidence to start betting heavier when you do see a setup all right.
No, not at all. Not at all. I've become more conservative. Mm. So it gives me confidence, not that I'm going to destroy the market and make all the money, right? I do not know what's going to happen on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. If I did, I would bet everything. I'd mortgage the house. I'd sell the kids. I'd promise the next firstborn, everything, if I knew it was going to happen, right? I don't. It gives me confidence in the sense of I'm not afraid. And we know that trading is a psychological game. It's psychological warfare where the market typically beats traders before they ever take a trade because they're either greedy, or they're afraid to do something. When they're afraid, they misread the markets. They don't take opportunities. They take profits early. They move stops back. All the mistakes that typically kill traders, right? And they look back in hindsight and like, oh man, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Those fears don't exist with me. And not that they did anyway. I'm pretty strong psychologically for the most part. But I don't have those fears of like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? Panic mode. So there's no panic. I think Brett Steenbarger said it best. There's a massive difference between stress and distress, where we're always stressed. I think we're always stressed in life to a point. And stress isn't negative because stress causes growth. But in the markets, we're always dealing with a certain level of stress because we're putting money onto a table and we don't know if it's going to come back. Obviously, we're smart in managing our risk. If you're like me, I assume that once I place a bet, all that money's going to be gone. I just always think worst case scenario, but it's stressful to be in a position where you put a trade on and now it's like it's out of your hands. You don't have control over it, that the market does, and that's a stressful situation. Think about it like when you get to the point where you got to teach your daughter how to drive a car and it's time for you to get out of the car and let her drive. It's like, oh no, like this is you trust yourself, but it's out of your hands. De-stress is when people are panicking. That's when that stress gets to a level where they don't know what to do. They haven't seen the story before. And now it's causing a very specific reaction. So instead of being in a state where I'm worried about distress, where I'm panicking and I'm reacting based off of the news and all that's happening, I'm in a normal state of stress where I understand that I can control what I can control, but there's no need to panic. And part of that is because I have the confidence of seeing this play out before and knowing that I was able to get through it and actually strive. So it's not an overconfidence thing. It's just I kind of know where the book is headed as I'm going through it. So there's no fear, I guess you can say.
No, that makes a lot of sense. It definitely makes a lot of sense, and it's great perspective too, right? And all the traders that I've been speaking to that have years of experience, like yourself, Mike Webster a couple of weeks ago, like Jim Robel, about a month ago, people are like excited, seeing this because it's gonna open up all the opportunities. It's just a matter of now is the time to study, right? To start to getting ready and not jumping the gun. Just because you think that you caught the bottom.
That now is the time to prepare. I just did a podcast the other day where it's like, this could be a blessing in disguise. And I've gotten so many emails from traders who are like, man, I've been interested in trading for a while. I just never had the time to learn. Now I'm working from home. I got all these extra hours. So guess what I'm doing? So I think it's a blessing in disguise. It's gonna open up time for people to prepare and hone their skills. And when the time is right, they're gonna be able to use it and they're gonna be a step ahead of everyone else. Everyone else is gonna be paying catch up. They're gonna be ready to take advantage of it when things turn around. Because we all know it's a win. All know it's a win. If you could look at a historical price chart of all the recessions and drops and crashes in market history, and just look what happens afterwards. It's amazing. It needs to happen in a way. It sucks that it happened this way, but corrections need to happen. That's what part of a healthy market.
I actually think that we're going to see a lot more traders in the relatively near future, more people like approaching, like looking for alternate ways to make an income, right? Yep. Everybody's quarantined. The job market is changing. Working from home and working remotely is, going to gain a lot more steam.
Yeah. I can go on this subject forever. I'm going to try and be as short as possible because it is, it's proof that I'm a little bit biased. We're in the best business in the world. We don't have a brick and mortar location that we need to go to. We have a business that can, and when I say business, trading, it creates time freedom. Like you said, we can schedule our breaks. We can make our own schedule, play with our kids and spend time with our wives and pick up hobbies. It's mobile as well. We don't have to be set to any particular place. We need an internet connection and a laptop. Some people just need a phone and we can do what we do. There's no startup cost to doing it, right? There's no employees we need to hire. It's simply a business that started off of a skill. And yes, there is a monetary and a time investment. I guess it doesn't have to be a monetary. Well, there is. You're either gonna spend money getting educated or spend money losing it in the market. So there is a monetary perspective. And a time perspective, obviously time to make mistakes and learn, that element to it. But aside from that, I mean, what else do you need as far as any other businesses out there? And what happens is people the entire life are stuck inside this comfort zone of, 90% of people are in this comfort zone of, go to college, get a nice, safe job and do what you're supposed to do, the generic, be a good, productive person of the labor force. And there's nothing wrong with that. But this is proof right now that nice, safe job you had, nothing is safe. And I feel for people that are getting laid off. I've got friends and family members that have been laid off, so I don't mean this in any type of disrespectful way where it's like, ha ha, you should have been a trader. Like, no, not at all. But it does kind of unveil the curtain where it's like, you're not as safe as you thought. You're not as safe as you thought. And one of the reasons I got into trading, just entrepreneurship in general, whether it's trading or real estate, is because one, I didn't want any ceiling on what I could potentially earn, right? I didn't want a boss to tell me, hey, you can only earn this much. And after that, boom, you're done. Like, no, I want to earn as much as I deserve to earn. And I can do that in trading. The better trader I become, the more I will make, right? It's like just like a commission-based job, I guess. And two, as far as the floor goes, I didn't want anyone in control of my floor, right? So I didn't want anyone, an employer saying, okay, we don't need you anymore. Pull the rug from beneath me and now I'm nowhere. And I had that before growing up where I've been fired from jobs and it's like, it wasn't a big deal, but it's like, man, like it can happen this quick and then what? Like, I don't have another usable skill. So it's like, this is it. So, I mean, that's the benefit, the safety net I know it seems unsafe, but the safety net is you. If you bet on yourself and you have confidence in yourself, it's the only question is, am I going to fail? Am I willing to do everything that I possibly can not to fail? And if your mindset, like, I'm not going to fail at anything. So like, that's my mindset right now. That's my safety net because I know I'm not going to fail. I'm going to find a way somehow. I'd much rather have that as being my floor than relying on someone else to make a decision on my livelihood. I'm just not comfortable doing that. So it's just ironic that all these safe jobs and all the people telling you should be safe are now kind of looking at things from a different perspective and asking the question, how safe was I really? Because the ones that are really safe are the ones at the top doing the hiring. And even some of them aren't safe. But the workers at the bottom, if they don't consider you a valuable worker, valuable enough to keep you on during times like this, and I understand it's hard from all levels, how safe are we really? It's interesting.
How important is that self-belief? And how do you acquire and grow that self-belief?
It's massive. I think it comes, it's a lot of, I don't know. I'm a believer. I can only speak for myself. I'm a believer that everything in life just molds you to be a certain way. So, a lot of people, they downplay. I talk a lot about sports because sports and training, it is running. Like, those are skills you learn. We can talk about marathons, for example. And people think, oh, why would you run a marathon? It hurts your body. It's not even about the actual race. Like, it's the journey to the race. If people don't understand, like, when you're training for a marathon, obviously you have to run a lot, right? You have to be self-dedicated to get up and run a lot. eventually you have to run a long distance to prepare for it, right? And it hurts. Mm-hmm. You're going to have good runs, but you're going to have bad runs where it's like every step hurts and you have to will yourself through it. You also have to have confidence that you're not going to die in the middle of the race and you're going to make it through. But there's so many skills that are taught during that journey of just like self-motivation, inspiration. And again, this is where community comes in, right? It's a lot easier if you have a running partner than just yourself, right? It's a lot easier if you have a pack of people to run with, because now you can be having a bad day, but you don't want to be the one that falls off the pack, because it's kind of a positive peer pressure. So I think all the skills that we learn during life, and it could be anything from a little kid to being in athletics, to being in, you know, a band, for working at an auto shop, whatever it is, you got to take those skills to trust yourself, believe in yourself, and just bet on yourself. And I don't know if that's something you're born with or it's taught, but I believe that we are kind of products of our environment. And that could be both in a negative or positive way. We are given these skills. We have to figure out how to kind of nurture them and grow them. And then when it's time, take action on them and use them in a positive way.
That kind of circles all the way back to one of the first things that you said too, at the beginning of this, how important the environment is. So if we're crafted by our environment, then we should consciously work to improve our environment. And not just like the four walls, but the people around us too.
Yeah, like you mentioned, if that's your energy, I mean, if you think about the people surrounding you as the ones that are giving you energy, the idea should be to create as much energy as possible. So keep surrounding yourself with more people like that, and keep eliminating the people that don't give you that energy. I mean, it's just, if someone's draining energy from you, just get rid of them. probably in a more polite way than that, but yeah, that's right. Surround yourself with
bad trade. Just cut it out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Surround yourself with people. Put yourself in situations where challenge yourself, where you will grow. Mm-hmm. Put yourself in situations. I like being the dumbest person in the room, because I know I'm going to learn something, and I don't. My ego doesn't stand in the way of doing that. I'm not the type of person. I know more than you. It's like, hey guys, look, you guys are experts. I'm an idiot. You talk, I'm going to take notes, and being willing to do that, being teachable, having a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm the same. Like, I love if I'm going to have people around, like, I want to learn. Like, that's why I have experts like you on the show. Like, I'm like have like a whole thing full of notes right here.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to go back and rewatch and learn some more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that should be the goal every day, try to get a little bit better.
I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate it, man. Same here.
Any parting thoughts? I don't want to take up too much of your time. We've been going at it for about an hour already. Time flies when you're having fun.
Indeed it does. No, I would just say take this, look at this time as a blessing. Look at this time instead of looking at it as a negative where it's like, hey, hopefully you haven't been laid off, but you're at home, you can't go to work, you can't do the normal things you would do. It opens up time to do something else, and just ask yourself, what am I going to do with that time, and do something positive with it. It doesn't matter if it's trading, it could be reading a book, it could be maybe you had a hobby that you're thinking about turning into a business, a YouTube channel you want to grow, doing reviews of coffee, I don't know, it doesn't matter what it is, but this is a part, you have nothing better to do. That's how I promoted this thing. I said, look, you've got nothing better to do than come watch me and Mike talk. All right, you have nothing better to do but start pursuing those dreams, and this is the perfect time to do it, because there's nothing else you can do, right? Mm-hmm. There's no doubt, there's no risk to it. If it fails, then ooh, big deal. So I would say that, just use this as an excuse to pursue your dreams, because you may not get another time in your life that is unique like this, where you're limited by distractions, you're limited by makeable excuses. There are no real excuses. If you're like most of us, you've been told to stay home and do not leave. So do something positive instead of just watching Netflix all day.
I love it.
Although Tiger King is pretty interesting. I don't want to say good, but interesting. It's don't watch it. Don't get it. It's weird. But it you can't take your eyes away from it. So.
All right, yeah, no, better not to get started on Ben.
Yeah. So, I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here, man. Like, always a pleasure. So much great wisdom in this. I can't wait to go back, watch the replay, take more notes, and like come up with the transcripts too. Like, I'm actually thinking of turning all of these shows into a book.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, kind of like Jack Schwager style.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and thankfully, my wife is an author, so she's going to help me out with that.
Perfect. I'll keep that in mind if I ever decide to do my book, which I don't think will ever happen. So don't ask me about it. But I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Be in touch, man.
We'll do.
Yeah, thanks again. Enjoy the rest of your day. Stay well. And thank you, everybody, for joining us.
All right. Yeah, thank you guys as well. I appreciate it.